And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So as we pick things up in Luke's gospel this morning, we're just right after the transfiguration, where Elijah and Moses had appeared in glory to talk with Jesus about the exodus that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. And at this point in his public ministry, we're probably just a year away from that first Good Friday and Paschal Sunday. And Luke tells us Jesus set his face as he started on the road that would lead him to the cross and to the empty tomb. But we might ask, well, okay, what does that have to do with us? I mean, we know what Jesus did for us. But in terms of how we live our lives, how we live in faith, what does this mean for us? What does it mean here and now? Well, one of the ways to think of discipleship, the life of listening to and of following Jesus, is to consider it a journey with Jesus, but not so much in terms of him hanging with you wherever you are, although he does do that, but rather in terms of you going with him wherever he goes. And if you start with that perspective, then we can see in this reading how Jesus setting his face to go to Jerusalem gives us our marching orders for how we are to stick to the calling that we have been given. The phrase to set one's face comes from the Old Testament and is seen in God strengthening the prophets for their calling to deliver his word to an often hostile people. He promised them, "I will set your face like flint against them, and none will be able to stand against you." So for Jesus to set his face for the journey of that last year meant to be resolved, unflinching, and dedicated to completing the work the Father gave him to do, rescuing us from sin and death, bringing us all into the kingdom and new life. No matter the hatred, no matter the opposition thrown at him, no matter the betrayal, the abandonment, the injustice, the cruelty, the death that faced him, he set his face, knowing the Father would strengthen him for all that he had to do. And likewise, as we follow Jesus and share his life and hear his word and witness to his grace, we must set our faces to journey with him, knowing that we too shall face hostility, trouble, attack, but that cannot keep us from continuing to offer grace and love and mercy and forgiveness to all in Christ. That's what we are called to. And in a way, what unfolds in the rest of our reading this morning illustrates the kind of obstacles or distractions that can get in the way of our following Jesus to do his work and to be his witnesses. So, the first obstacle we encounter are those Samaritans. When Jesus sent the disciples to make preparations for him in that village, it was like when he sent the 12 out into all of Galilee, to all the villages where he himself was about to visit. In other words, they were making preparations there by calling the people to repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And yet the people would not receive Jesus as God's servant because he was going to worship down in Jerusalem, and they, the Samaritans, believed that God was to be worshipped in Mount Gerizim. The hostilities the Jews and Samaritans had toward each other was long and bitter. And so they rejected Jesus the Lord. And James and John were incensed. How dare they? Have you ever offered something gracious and good to someone and then been rebuffed because maybe of your religion, your race, your social background? James and John wanted to make those ingrates pay. Shall we call down fire? The temptation when we are treated badly, when we're insulted, rejected, especially with regards to faith in the gospel, is to judge. Oh, there's judgment waiting for you. You just wait till the last day, you knaves. But notice, Jesus rebuked James and John. In a less well-attested manuscript, Jesus tells them that they do not know what manner of spirit they are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. The journey of Christ is for salvation, for grace and redemption. We can never let how we are treated make us forget that. We don't have time to judge and condemn, for we are called to show love and grace. So rejected by one village, Jesus simply led them on to the next place. And as for those Samaritans, they may yet have an opportunity to receive grace, for the witness of the resurrection, Jesus said, is going to go from Jerusalem to all Judea to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The next obstacle is being comfortable in this world. Along the road to Jerusalem, someone told Jesus he was ready to go with him wherever. Jesus' response was a little bit of cold water. Foxes have holes, birds nest, but I don't have a comfortable place here. And if you follow me, neither will you. Foxes have a place to retreat for comfort and safety, and birds have their nests, and we naturally want a place of retreat and comfort as well. But following Jesus isn't going to get you that. And many a disciple has given up following when the price got too high and things became too uncomfortable. Mind you, Jesus is not saying that you have to give up your home and your bed. Rather, he is warning that as you follow him, as you share his life, as you witness to his grace, it will often be neither easy nor comfortable. Maybe not even safe. If safety and comfort are what you want, you've signed on to the wrong team. On the other hand, he does have the words of eternal life, so where else are you going to go? The next obstacle, letting social obligations get in the way of proclaiming the kingdom. And this one is one that catches people short because it's so personal. Let me note here, this is not an obstacle that many of us have to face. So Jesus calls to a man, "You, be following me." That's a command. And the man asks, "Well, let me go bury my father first." And this is a natural request. It's part of giving honor to mother and father. It's a good thing when we lay our dead to rest with the confidence of the faith and with an eye toward the resurrection. But Jesus had called this man to proclaim the kingdom to the living, to people who might yet be turned to faith and find life. And the truth about his father was that he was dead, and words could no longer change his fate. He was at peace or not. And so when faced with the call to reach out to the living or to stay with those whose fate is already set, what do you have to do? You need to go where work is waiting, no matter what ties you have to ignore with others. Not many of us will be faced with this particular obstacle, but part of having one's face set to follow Jesus on his road means being ready to let social obligations go if they get in the way of serving the gospel. And then one last obstacle. A man comes ready to follow Jesus and just wants to say farewell to those at his home. And Jesus sternly says, "You can't put your hand on the plow and keep looking back if you're going to do the kingdom's work." Well, so what's the problem here? The man wants to join the new life of working for the kingdom, of following Jesus, and yet he's not quite ready to let go of the old life. And if you want a really weak illustration of this, think of someone signed on to a new ball team who keeps thinking about how great the old team was. Is that going to be a really helpful teammate? And the image of this plow didn't mean a whole lot to me growing up in the Bay Area until I was cast upon the shores of Stark County, and then some old farmers who remembered plowing the fields with actual horses told me that the way that you keep a furrow straight is by keeping your eye on what is ahead of you. If you keep looking back to see how you're doing, your plow is going to weave back and forth across the field. And so for us, with Christ, as we go on his way, we are looking forward to the goal, which is nothing less than the redemption of all. We can't worry about what is behind us. Our failures, our regrets, our old lives, old passions. For us, there's just the future that Christ is leading us to, and the service and the love that we are to share with each other now, in this time here. And so we set our faces, and we follow, knowing that as we go with Christ along his way, regardless of obstacles and hardship and opposition and trouble, we are being used by him to touch others with grace and love. And that is not such a bad life. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.